Shall we?
Shall we? Let's do it.
All right.
Let's get.
Oh, lost my earpiece. Hold on. Hold on.
Fucking casual.
Hold on.
So casual.
Got it. I'm getting back.
Casual caster here. Hey guys, you're listening to the Casual Casters Cast, where we drop our earplugs and we suck at magic.
How much did you suck this week, Alan?
Oh, I sucked really hard this week. Yeah. Also, magic did not also go very well. Anyways, I'm Alan, and I'm here with my co-host and fellow Cabal therapist, Ben, the self-proclaimed planeswalker of your heart. Although I heard that you're not in the heart of your Dungeons & Dragons league anymore, because they hate you now.
I think you kind of hate me. I killed off the entire party. There's been about 6 deaths in this campaign. It's going away. They just keep fucking dying.
I feel like if I was a DM, I would just kill everyone all the time.
You have to find a good balance. You have to, like, know when to do it. And last night was not a time to do it, but I did it.
That's great. I feel like it would be more just like an experiment for myself of how far I could push my friends until they realized that I had no intention of making a fair game for them.
But you gotta get them like invested, right? So like this one sucked because like the characters had been around for a while and they were actually into it. So like they actually cared about them, and then they got murdered, and they were all so disappointed. So
see, I think that I would leverage like my friendship with them on a personal level to get them to keep going. Because like I've been getting them invested in that, you know, for 26 years. So
yeah.
Well, that's not true. Like like 12 or 15 or something. But anyways.
I see what you're going for.
I'll put it on the line. I don't give a shit. Well, back to magic, which, it's not really what this podcast is about, but, which leads us to the question, what is this podcast about? Ben, do you have any input?
I thought we were going to talk about turkey.
Yeah, pretty pumped about turkey this week. It's going to be pretty good. On the other hand, I know this is typically a turkey cast, but we might talk about a little bit of magic today, because we've both been playing much more magic recently, and we just want to talk about it, because it's awesome.
Yeah, okay. Can you say we're obsessed?
You could say that. But yeah, I did fairly well at a 5K recently, so we'll probably talk a bit about that, and maybe some community issues. And then I'd like to talk about a unique format that we created and play for fun and profit, but mostly just fun and not really profit at all, actually.
Mostly bragging rights.
Mostly bragging rights, yes. That's true. Okay, so on to magic. What have we been playing? I have still been playing Target Red. So I did pretty well at 5K with it recently. I know you are not as big a fan of it as you were initially, Ben, but the more I play it, the more I just really like it. And like
I could see that.
You know, sometimes I feel like you just get a lot of free wins. And I feel like
that's with any deck though. The more you play it, the more you grow into it, right?
That's true. That's fair. Yeah. I guess the thing that I like the most is I played a lot of aggro decks that have just like kind of one plan, and if that gets disrupted, then it's really hard to not lose. Whereas this one, I feel like I've had a plan that's failed, but it's not impossible to top deck out of it.
Yeah.
Like I can just find, you know, some run out of target commands or assemble a combo and a creature and just like be down for a ton out of nowhere.
Have you been running it the same way you were, or have you changed it much? Are you still running Phoenixes, or?
I'm still running the Phoenixes. I don't know. I think I'm going to test out the Whirling Outburst a little bit more. Because I tried to take a note of like every time I saw a Phoenix and see if Whirling Outburst would be better at that time.
Yeah.
And most of the time it didn't really matter.
It's kind of, has the recursion mattered?
The recursion has almost never mattered.
Oh, okay.
To be honest. But it's pretty helpful against the Phoenix is pretty helpful against Gideons.
Oh, because I can kill it or?
Yeah, because it flies over the token and can just
hit it. Oh yeah, that makes sense.
So a lot of the time,
I mean, that would be the plus side of the Phoenix, really, is because it has flying.
Right. So a lot of the time I could just fly over and possibly use a pump spell on it or just take two turns and kill the Gideon. But a lot of the times, like in that same situation, if I had a Whirling Outburst, I could kind of just go wide and use a pump spell and kill the Gideon.
Yeah.
But it probably means losing more guys, so.
Losing more guys, and it would take longer, right?
Right.
The Phoenix has haste.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. So for that reason, I kind of like the Phoenix. But I'm open to the Outburst as well. I don't know. I don't think it's like a huge difference. But it seems like everyone else is kind of on the Outburst plan.
Yeah.
So yeah, this 5K, I'm not exactly sure how many people there are, but I know there are over 100.
Yep.
It's a 7-rounder, and I ended up in 10th, so.
It's pretty good.
Not too bad. Yeah. It's,
And why didn't you make the top 8? What was that? How did you make it?
Because I didn't draw in like an idiot. Okay, do you want me to tell you the... I can tell you the story.
Sure. Let's tell everybody the story.
Okay. So, going into round 7, I was 5-1. I was really hoping to draw. And they posted the standings at the same time as the pairings, which resulted in a lot of people just standing in front of the board. And, like, it was really hard to get over to see. So, like, I was just trying to push people, and I can't see far.
Yeah.
I didn't have my glasses, so I actually had to get up close to the board, like, to actually read it, which is really unfortunate. So it took a while to do that. Finally, I made my way through. I'm in third at table 2, and I check, and there's 2 16-pointers and 10 15-pointers. So I rush to my table, sit down, and as soon as I sit down, the judge is like, "Are you gonna play?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I didn't think about it yet." And I'm like, "Okay, math. The top 2 draw in. That's 2. There's 10 15-pointers. If they all play, that's 5 more above me. So that's 7. And I was like, if me and my opponent draw, that makes 9. And so I was like, so someone's not getting in. And I was like, so I should just play rather than risk it. Which, one, is really dumb because obviously my breakers are going to be better than those other people 10 down.
Anybody below you, yeah.
Because I'm at, yeah.
Yeah, and table 2 with somebody else who has a really good record.
But I didn't check my breakers before sitting down because I was so rushed and I forgot. But so I didn't know how close they were, but okay. The other thing is, I don't know if you could follow the math I just did, but it was wrong. Because I said there's 10 15-pointers.
Yeah.
And so I said half of that is 5 if they all play. And then I counted me and my opponent, but we were a part of that. So I counted us twice. So it was a lock to draw in, no matter what. But I don't know. I was just so stressed that I bungled it. And like as soon as we started playing the game, I realized the mistake I made. And I was like, oh, I guess we should have drawn. But I had already mulled to 4 at that point. So there's definitely no way my opponent was going to split with me at that point.
Actually, can we draw? Maybe, though. I mean, maybe he just didn't want to take the chance. He would have been like, yeah, it's a lock. I'll draw still.
I, like, casually suggested it, and he didn't respond. So, yeah. So I'm very, very stupid. So I was pretty sad. I was pretty sad about that. But it happens. Yeah.
I feel like the only way, logically, you shouldn't draw, right? First of all, I think statistically you should draw probably no matter what. But I think logically, just like looking at it, if you're like already in the top four tables, or maybe even top five tables, if you draw, you're probably going to make it in.
Yeah, it's just, it's like I'm not in like that such, like any time there's been a top eight or tops a cut to something before, I've either been like locked in, it's like I'm points above everyone else, like I'm undefeated going into it.
Yep.
I've had that experience, or I've had the experience where they post it like far ahead of time, so it's like really you can just take your time and figure it out,
yeah,
really easily. And I just feel like I haven't had a lot of times where there hasn't been a lot of time, and I just have to, like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, I feel like my brain was trying to like just take those shortcuts that you're saying, like just like do it intuitively, and I just like didn't have the experience for that intuition, and so I was just like misfiring. I don't know. I just kind of panicked, and it was dumb. But you're absolutely right. I wish you had been there with me, because you probably would have been like, "Draw, you fucking idiot!" And then it would have been good.
Probably exactly what I would have said.
Yeah.
I'd been, "What do you mean you're not gonna draw?"
Yeah. It was very dumb. But yeah, like by the time I like, yeah, I don't want to go back into it. The other thing I was really funny that happened was my first three rounds, I faced these three friends that all grew up together.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They're all really cool dudes as well, so it was just pretty funny. I was like, these guys are gonna, you know, hate me on the car ride back, but they actually all did pretty well, so they kept my breakers up, which was nice.
It's always nice of them.
Yeah.
That's somebody to help you out.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the best thing about playing Atarka Red at competitive REL is all the trigger math, because it's not that straightforward. I mean, it's not hard, but it's not that straightforward to determine the power and toughness of all your dudes. And it's not derived information, so you don't have to tell your opponent what
you're swinging for.
Right. Right. So I won several games where my opponents, they did the math wrong.
That's,
and then they died.
Sweet in a way.
Yeah. So that was pretty nice. That actually leads me to another thing I wanted to talk about. This was kind of an issue like on Twitter a few weeks ago, and at the time I didn't really think that I had a comment on it at all. I just thought it was dumb.
Yeah.
But playing the other day, it kind of made me realize something. Did you hear anything about like the good game controversy, where people were saying like it's offensive to say like good game or something?
Like, yeah, if you, I heard if you something win of that. But, like, I don't know. I just like ignored it. But like, I heard that there was like a like some kind of controversy about it. I just like didn't read into it.
Yeah,
oh, people are talking about this for no reason.
Yeah, it just sounded really, really dumb to me.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, I don't think it's rude that if you win, you say good game. I don't think it's rude. I guess it's nice, or I guess it's sportsmanlike to say good game if you lose, but I don't think it's like necessarily like a bad thing if you don't.
Right.
Right.
Right. Like, I don't think so either. No. So, like, Okay, so the only time that I've ever seen someone say GG and I was like, wow, that was inappropriate, was it was Legacy, and someone show and told an Emrakulin. So Emrakulin's on the board, extends his hand, and says GG. Like
the game's not over.
The game's not over. You know, like this guy, his opponent like still has, I honestly don't remember what his opponent was playing, but he could have had multiple turns to find a Caracas or even just like burn him out or something, you know? Like the game could have been over, but the game wasn't over yet, and he said GG. So like I was kind of thinking about that when I was playing my matches, because there were a lot of times when I killed my opponents out of nowhere. So the game was over, but they didn't realize the game was over yet.
Yeah.
Because like their math was wrong or something like that. Or like I just swang for a lot, like when they didn't expect it. So like I feel like if I had said GG like right as I won, it would have felt like the same thing to them. Like I was saying it before the game's over.
Yeah, but it actually was
over. It was over. It's just they didn't realize it was over yet. So like I kind of like tried to give my opponents like time to process, I guess, like trying to like think and like realize what happened and like really realize that they lost before saying that, I guess.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I've never really ran into that too much. A lot of the times it'll be like I know I'm going to win, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like impossible. Like I know I'm going to win. There's not a way for them to win or something. Right. And like, as I'm doing, I'll be like, I'm pretty sure this is a game because there's literally nothing they can do.
Right.
I'm pretty sure this is a game. Like it is a game. I know it's a game.
Yeah. I think that's fine because I feel like that's like, you're letting them know like what's happening. You're just, it saves time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's all I really had to say about that. Yeah.
Why is this? I feel you.
Yeah. Have you heard about the thing with MTG Goldfish?
Oh, was it Matt or Wizards doesn't want them to do the statistics, right? Because they think it's like ruining the
right entry fast. What do you think about that?
So I see where Wizards is coming from. But honestly, I don't see there being any rights to them being able to say that. And I think it's just like the part of the age that we're in, right? Like,
I totally agree. We're in that information age, and it seems weird to stifle it. And like, I feel like they say like, you know, they don't want it to get solved. They want it to evolve naturally, but like naturally would be if you had all the information instantly and like then it evolved from like a constant feedback loop, you know, not like just stifling the feedback loop. That's like, that's unnatural. That just seems bad.
I still think it's a natural evolution. It's just that it happens much quicker than it used to.
Right.
Because information gets out and feedback gets around faster.
Right. I just don't really see what the problem with having more information is, because like recently they've been very good about making standards. It's kind of like a rock, paper, scissors thing. Like, you know, there's one deck, you know, beats another deck, and that, you know, deck has a better match against another deck, and you know, there's no deck that is better against the entire field. You know, and if a deck like that comes out, you know, like Esper Dragons did when it first came out and was just good against the whole field, then the meta just evolves. You know, you have that information.
Somebody makes a deck to beat it.
And then you're like, okay, let's make these other decks to beat it, or let's tune the other decks to beat Esper Dragons. Like you can change the decks. They're not locked. So I don't see why you wouldn't want that information.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's proof
that though some decks show up more often, I guess, and more dominating, there's still that aspect of it where the meta has a lot to it and different things peak at different moments because of the current meta, right?
Right.
And you see that all the time in all the different GPs and stuff. Right?
Right.
Like, there was a GP or there was a whatever, I can't remember what event was, for like all the top decks were like Jeskai.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, and then you see, you know, you see one with zero adds in the top eight, and then like a month later, you see one with all adds in the top eight again. Just because the meta keeps changing. It's battling back and forth between what beats what. The fact is that the top decks are all good enough to win, but it's still a meta matchup, right?
Right.
You can go in with a Tarka Red, and it's a top-tier deck, and if you run into, well, like, say, the time I ran it, when I ran into six or freaking Jeskai matchups, right?
Right.
You can have a bad day. But if you go in and you don't play any Jeskai matchups, maybe you have a great day, right?
Right. Yeah, I agree. It just doesn't seem necessary to stifle the information. I think Magic can take care of itself. We don't need to baby it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I am gonna ask you a surprise question.
I'm ready.
Because you told me that you just picked up those Protean Hulks recently.
Oh yeah.
Can you tell me how the combo works in that deck?
I haven't even seen the deck.
I just sent you a deck list.
Okay, let me look at it and I'll tell you how the combo works.
Okay.
Yeah, so the readers know I went into our local games the other day, game store the other day, and I was going through the dollar rare bins and I saw Protean Hoax. And me, having my fantastic memory, was like, oh, Flash Hulk. This can't be a dollar rare. And it was apparently when I bought it. And now 4 days later, or 3 days later, it's like $8. So it was a good pickup. It was a good pickup.
Nice.
Let's see. I have to read what some of these cards are. I don't know what some of these cards are.
Okay, maybe this wasn't a good thing to do live.
Well, I'm assuming you drop it in the yard and use Footsteps of Goryeo, right?
Right.
To play, and then you sack it. What does it get you? It gets you equal to 6 toughness? Is that what it gets you? 6 power?
I think it's the CMC.
Does it somehow repeatedly drop Mog Fanatic? Is it like an endless combo where you just keep sacking Mog Fanatic?
That's the end result, yeah.
You could sack it to Viscera Seer, but how do you get it back in play? Is there something that just puts it back in play?
Revelark puts it back in play.
What? But that's only for one instance, no?
Okay, so here's what you do. Get Protean Hulk in the yard, Footsteps him back, and he dies in a turn. He dies, you go find Mog Fanatic and bot. You go find Viscera Seer and Body Double. Body Double enters as a copy of Protean Hulk in the graveyard. So then you sack Body Double to Viscera Seer. So you get the Hulk activation again. You go find Mog Fanatic and Revelark. They come in. Then you sack the Mog Fanatic, sack Revelark, bring back Body Double, Mog Fanatic. Body Double copies Revelark, sack Mog Fanatic, sack Body Double, and you keep going.
Well, okay. How do you... I'm missing a step. So Revelark gets you Mog Fanatic back, right?
Yep. Revelark gets Mog Fanatic and Body Double back.
Return up to 2 target creature cards with power... Oh, power 2 or less. That's why. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Ah. That makes sense. I gotcha.
Yeah. So it's... It's not super intuitive, but it's not too bad.
Why does it use... My question is Body Double, right?
Yep.
Can you use something else, like Phantasmal Image or something?
No, because you need to copy something that's in the graveyard.
Oh, right, yeah. That makes sense. Huh. Interesting.
Do you know how you could disrupt this? You could just path the Hulk. That would be the best thing to do.
You could just put it out of their graveyard.
Yeah, response. But when do you do it?
When Revelark's stability is on the stack. Revelark dies, return up to 2 target creature cards, power 2 or less, graveyard to the battlefield. That goes on the stack, right?
Yeah.
Exile the graveyard.
Okay, yeah, that works.
You can use Grift. You could also use, like, Graft Digger's Cave.
Yeah.
I think you wait till they have Fanatic in the yard or something, you get rid of Fanatic.
Yeah.
Fanatic's a kill step, right?
Right.
Just extirpate it or split second it.
Yeah.
What's that split second spell? Move target card from graveyard.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. Or you could use that spell that's legal in our random set right now. That's like one mana. Search target player's library for a card and remove it from the game.
I think that's from Odyssey, though.
Ah, is it?
Also, I think it's a sorcery.
It is a sorcery.
Yeah.
But you could just do turn one.
That would work. That's probably why that card is there's other things like that, but you can't do a turn one. But that brings us to the topic of our random magic. So let's talk about that. So Ben and I and several of our friends play something that we call random magic, or I call it roomy magic because everyone we've played with has been one of our roommates at one point or time.
Though we have more people this time.
That's true.
I want to come up with a good name. I'll think of a real good magic name.
Yeah, because neither of those are great names.
Random magic is just way too much to say.
It is. Okay, enough about the name, though. Let's get into what it actually is. So what we do is we basically make a standard set of cards out of just random old sets. So we'd pick like two, like the first set in the blocks, two random ones, and then four random expansions, and then one random core set.
So it makes a standard. So it's like, instance, one good example would be the one we're doing now, right? So our core set would be Magic 2012. Our two, I guess, block main sets are Return to Ravnica and Odyssey, and then our four expansion sets are The Dark, Torment, World Wake, and Dragons of Tarkir.
Right. So it's, you know, so you pick the random sets, you know, everyone brews some decks, and then we all bring a deck to an event, and, you know, we play each other, and best record wins, or whatever, you know. And then you pick seven new random sets, and you do it all over again.
Yeah. Deck builder's dream scenario.
Yeah, it's kind of a brewer's format. Yeah. So, like, what do you like about this format? Specifically, like, what makes you want to play this format over something else?
So, my biggest thing with it is, one, the meta is unknown, right? It's not solved. I mean, to a certain extent, you know, some cards, you know, have a history or quote-unquote good or broken or stuff and broken some way, but you don't necessarily have the cards available that make them broken, and you might not even have cards that make good synergy with them. So it makes you look at the sets in a different way than they are currently viewed, I guess, or have been in history.
Right.
A good example would be right now we have World Wake, we have Stoneforge Mystic.
That's the example I was going to use. Yeah.
Yeah, there is, I think the only good equipment we have is Basilisk Scholar.
There's nothing else.
Yeah. So a completely broken card, format morphing card. It's a 2/2 that can get you Basilisk Scholar right now. It's not great.
I mean, it still could be totally worth it to play. I don't know. I haven't tested anything at all yet. We just picked these sets last night, so definitely not an authority on these specific sets. But
that's how it's been, right?
Right.
You see cards that have been completely broken not see play, or they do, they're not completely broken anymore, I guess.
Yeah. I think what I really like about it is I think that it makes us better at analyzing cards.
I agree.
It makes you better at looking at, like, a pool of cards and, like, figuring out a good deck, which is, it's a pretty useful skill, like going into like a new set when you're going to have a ton of things rotating out of standard, and you have a new block rotating in. It's a pretty useful skill to be able to analyze cards well, and because if you can make, you know, one of the best decks before those results, you know, come out at the Pro Tour, usually you can make it a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
So I feel like that skill does translate over, even though a lot of the cards we use are, you know, from like older formats and stuff. And yeah.
And another nice thing I like about it is that you get to play with cards you never got to play with. So I think some of the sets, for instance, like I wasn't playing when Worldwake was around. I wasn't playing when the Dark was around, or I wasn't even playing when Return to Ravnica happened. So,
right. So you get to play sets like we both get to play newer sets that came out that we didn't get to play when they were in standard, and they might not be good enough for modern, or they might be banned in modern. You know, we get to play with cards like that, and we also get to play with cards that are not legal in modern, like they're too old, but they're not good enough for Legacy, which I think is pretty cool. They're banned as well. Or they're banned. Yeah.
Because nothing's banned in our format.
True. Nothing is banned.
Except for, what was the one card we banned?
Charizard?
Yeah, we...
We're not playing sub-games.
Against my control. The populace wanted Charizard. Banned.
I don't even know if that's how you pronounce that card. I always want to call it Charizard.
Yeah, Charizard.
Charizard. I think that's what it's called now, Charizard. Calling it now. But yeah, it's a pretty fun format, and I think it keeps you on your toes. If you specifically want, I don't know, if you happen to have a good amount. It's not a great format if you don't have a lot of free time. But if you do have free time to just pour through the sets and like look at all the cards, then it's pretty good.
Yeah, and I think it helps you also look at cards together better, right? Like, I don't know, pouring through the whole sets. I know, like Ryan said, he almost looks at every single card, but like I don't look at every single card.
I don't at all.
I'll see like a mechanic I want to exploit, and I know how to like search for ways to exploit that mechanic, I guess now, which is helpful. Gatherer is a good utility.
Yeah. I think the first season we played it, I just found something like that looked fun and then just kind of went with it. It didn't really test a lot. And then towards, I don't know, then I built like some sort of, I wanted to try building like a mid-range deck. This was a long time ago before I was very good at Magic at all.
And like your Karn deck or something.
Yeah, and it just, I really liked it and it played really well. And I noticed that some of the people I was playing with were not very good at playing against control. So yeah. I just like sort of building control in like every format. I think like more recently what I do going in is I usually try and establish like a level zero, like a baseline deck, you know, that's like an aggressive deck. Just like try and make a good beatdown deck. And then I try and make something more mid-range, and then usually a control deck. And if I can tune the control deck to beat the aggro deck, I will usually just play that. And if I can't, then I'll probably play the mid-range deck, and I'll just make sure it has a good tons of sideboard hate for control.
Yeah.
That's basically my go-to plan.
The sideboard's the toughest part.
Yeah.
Because it's no meta.
Yeah. And if there's like a tempo deck possible in there, which I feel like I can never build, like there's like never the right cards to build a really sweet tempo deck. But if there is, I usually try and be on that.
I would disagree. I made a pretty good tempo deck once. I made my fairly odd Garrick.
I mean, yeah, with the fairies. But in all the sets that don't have fairies, it's harder.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I think another good thing about it, I know it's kind of laxed, so we get to do a lot of stupid kitchen table decks too, if you want. So I know, like, one round, Alan, you ran, like, you tried to run a Turbo Fog deck. Because why not?
I did.
I ran Treasure Hunt and Seismic Assault combo. one month.
Yep. That happened.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. It was something.
Matt ran a land destruction deck and didn't play Tarmogoyf. He had Tarmogoyf on the board, remember? None of us ran Tarmogoyf. We had Tarmogoyf and nobody ran it.
Right. Well, we didn't have any fetch lands, so there was gonna be no lands in the graveyard.
But I guess we also weren't up to date at that point either, so we're just like,
Right. Yeah, Matt was dumb that round. Well, okay, so he made like a mediocre land destruction deck when we had Mox Diamond and Coalition Relic, and he didn't have any artifact hate. So I think a lot of us at least had Mox Diamond and could at least have had one indestructible mana source. So I don't know. It was a bad choice on his part.
Fair attempt, though.
Yeah, fair attempt.
He also came up with that brutally really good Umbra Mantle combo.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If combo is just broken in this format, because...
Like, it can be.
Combo, when you don't expect it and you're going up against a combo you've never seen before, it's really hard to interact with. So.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can catch people off guard, yeah, you got a pretty good chance.
Yeah. So that usually works out pretty well.
But if you're looking for, if you have a bunch of people interested in Magic, you love deck building, you're looking for something challenging and to feed that itch, that's cheap because we just use proxies, right? We suggest this format. We can hit you up with the details if you want to ask us about it.
Right, and I also think we should post like the sets we choose every month, if anyone, you know, has a group of friends they want to play along with, they can use the same sets as us and, you know, see how it goes, what kind of busted things they come up with in comparison.
That could be interesting, and you know, I always keep track of stats and deck lists and everything, so we can even post deck lists people come up with and how they fare too, if you guys want to check that stuff out.
Yeah, that sounds good. Oh, yeah, like you normally do. Yeah, I think that would be sweet. I would like that. Cool. I think that's really all I really wanted to talk about today.
Sweet.
Yeah, because we're getting a little bit long anyways.
Well, yes, but we've also been talking for a while.
That's true. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
And it's if you knew why the bike fell over. It was because it was too tired. The bike was too tired.
That is embarrassing. Okay. All right. Do you have any shout outs? I want to do some shout outs.
Yeah, I want to shout out to Taylor Swift. If you're out there listening to this, I know you're a big Magic fan. Hit me up at my Twitter feed.
T Swift is a huge Magic fan.
Believe it or not.
I'm actually going to tweet Taylor Swift along with you. I'm gonna give a shout out to Gaming EQC. That's the place where I had the 5K. It was just like a weird little side building, like in this plaza. You know, when I got there, and I wasn't even sure like where it was, but then I saw like a guy with a backpack and some cargo shorts, so you know, walking around the side of the building, and I was like, oh, it's my people, you know, and so I figured it out pretty quick. But the place was actually huge. It was absolutely huge. So it was pretty sweet. So shout out to them for a great tournament. I want to shout out the three guys that I played that were friends in that tournament. I wrote your names down. I don't have it on me right now. But shout out to you guys. You guys were pretty cool dudes, and you took the beats real well. So good games all around.
And you took the beats well.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive. I know. Seriously, I'm like I'm an asshole, and they took it well. So there's that. Props to you, Ben, for loaning me some cards for that event, because that was good.
No problem.
And shout out to Kristen, my girlfriend, because she's
not listening to this.
She is not going to listen to this, but she did save my rabbit because he was injured this week, and she's a veterinarian, and she helped him. So really, really, really appreciate that.
I guess I should shout out to all the lovely people I play Magic with. Shout out to DM Comics for giving me my weekly Magic fix. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't care about anybody else.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. All right, well, that is all for this week. If you want to get in touch with me, Alan, I'm at the Allendorf, and Ben is at Benjamin H. Ebert.
Benjamin. I promise I will start looking at my Twitter again.
I sadly check it every day. There's not much going on. If you want to email us, you can find us at cabaltherapists@gmail.com. Please feel free to leave any feedback, hate mail, criticism, constructed or not. Anything at all. Just want to know. Is there anyone out there? I have no idea.
Yeah. I feel like it's that lady writing her blog in that Julia Childs movie.
something like that. Whatever. At least it's fun recording.
That is true.
At least I think it is. You probably hate it.
No, I love it.
That's good. All right. Let's shut this shit this show down. All right, everyone.
All right.
This is the end of your therapy session and ours. See you next week. Peace.
Later.
Designing the mind of the masses that fear a black man with tattoos and bandanas. But when a white man with tattoos and bandanas enjoys a bike gang, it's so cool with the balance. Ain't my black flesh, bitch, you mad that I came up. You cannot change, rearrange my chemical makeup. Pigmentation, I do not keep blood, who the spawn of the makeup. Astral project plug out of the matrix. Your fake fucks plagiarist. I make a whore drop drugs with my cranium. Telepathy, host with the most. You can't find a better beast. Better off dead, I sever off heads. Ever since I blew up, niggas think I got bread. If they got their hands out, they gon' get their palms red. Red from all this bloodshed. Loaded up, my nigga, bang, bang. Cook that rot, nigga, slang came. Point your finger, play the blame game. Fuck it, dog, it's the American way. Get high, my nigga, maintain. Tell lies, chase fame. Cause if they could, they would still hang. Trust me, dog, it's the American way. It's the American way. It's the American way. I can't forget them 3 K's. It's the American way.
Music got own drug distributed through the people. Niggas will never change unless you think you need to. We rebuild to destroy, home of the unemployed. We calling it rap while you calling it noise. So evacuate your homes. Radios never play my favorite song. Miss America would never be black. No use of telling me that. Everybody can coincide, it can never be that. Good riddance to the realest, but you gotta feel us. Getting cash every day, chasing fame, hurting feelings. Stereotype, never marry your wife. Another black nigga making music, maybe you're right. Most definitely, and you questioning me? If the world fucked up, the exception is me. The government love guns, so they aimed at you. Ain't no telling what I might do for the red, white, and the blue.
Load it up, my nigga, bang, bang. Cook that rock, nigga, slang came. Point your finger, play the blame game. Fuck it, dog, it's the American way. Get high, my nigga, maintain. Tell lies, chase fame. Cause if they could, they would still hang. Trust me, dog, it's the American way.
Oh, shit. Oh Lord, here we go again, finna get these packs off. Repetitive, sedative, got a fetish for fetishes. An American menace, I'm manifesting my businesses. Realist as real as gets, terror to terrorists. If you put your hands out, I'ma crush your fingertips. Fuck Bloomberg, that man absurd. Throw him in a trunk, right up on a curb. Hop out, mash out, leave his ass dirt. Niggas talk shit, but I don't feel worse. Better off dead, prepare for the worst. Enslaved since my first damn days on this earth. Fuck social security. And fuck Homeland Security. 9/11 biggest fraud in history. And all you rappers ain't goddamn shit to me. Getting fucked by your label. Fame chasing, bitch chasing, lonely ass nigga probably snitch. You ain't gonna face it. In depth to the red, white, and blue. Your government lies. So who the fuck is you?
Loaded up, my nigga, bang, bang. Cook that rock, nigga, slang came. Point your finger, play the blame game. Fuck it, dog, it's the American way. Get high, my nigga, maintain. Tell lies, chase fame. Cause if they could, they would still hang. Trust me, dog, it's the American way.